Prayer must be, you know, combined with your works, all right? But congratulations, man. Okay, good news. Well, tonight I'm going to start my sermon with just a short fable. We all know from a famous guy, the Aesop. Aesop's fable about what? Fox and the grape. Let me read the story, okay? One hot summer's day, like what you have now, a certain fox saw a juicy bunch of grapes hanging from a vine. It certainly was very hot, very hot, okay? And the fox was thirsting for something to drink. "These grapes are just what I need to quench my thirst," said the fox. But the vine on which the grapes hung was too high for him to reach, even in the longest stretch. So he decided to jump, okay? Drawing back a few paces, okay? After trying to jump, he ran to the vine and took a great big leap, but missed the grapes. Turning around, he jumped again. This time too, with no success. The fox tried to jump for the grapes again and again, yet again, to no avail. Since he could not reach the delicious looking grapes, the fox finally concluded. Listen to this word. "These grapes must be sour." And he walked away with his nose in the air. So, though hotter and even thirstier than before. We all know. So we call this sour grape syndrome. Okay? Was this grape, were these grapes really sour? No. The guy said, "These grapes are just what I need to quench my thirst." Okay? It looked so juicy, so good. When he thought that he could catch, but when he realized that he can really catch, he just concluded that grapes must be sour. This story we all know, but we just laugh about fox. But we do not really turn around, turn to ourselves. This is a story about us, folks. The fox looks so stupid, but that fox could be I or you guys. We don't have to go too far in the Bible. Tonight, the passage you're going to read about 12 spies sent by Moses to the land of Canaan. And the report that they give is exactly what Fox said. Okay? Let me read the passage. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just pick and choose. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to start with verse 1 through 3. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am going to the Israelite. From each ancestral tribe send one of its leaders.' So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are their names, etc. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, 'Go up through the Negev and go into the hill country. See what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. Then let me jump. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at the Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Listen carefully. It does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Then, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekite live in the Negev, the Hittite, Jebusite, and Amorite live in the hill country, and the Canaanite live there near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take the possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Okay, Caleb is one of the 12. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. Okay, now listen. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it." Okay, all the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendant of the Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We looked the same to them. What they saw, the land was really flowing with milk and honey. They're right, right? They brought us wonderful grapes too. But what they say, the land is the land that devours its inhabitant. This is crazy, okay? Then why there are so many strong people there? So here, what they are doing, what they've been pursuing, this is their final goal to reach, as God commanded. Even before they left Egypt, God promised them to give all this land. So they came along, very hard environment there. Finally, now they are in the reach of their goal. But now, these spies, they see, man, this is a great land, but fear grips their heart. Once their heart are gripped by fear, everything looks negative now. So the land flowing with the milk and honey. Now, the land is the land that devours its own inhabitants. So now, Israelites are suffering from sour grape syndrome. And I wonder, how is you guys' life? Did you have dream you are pursuing? Did you have goal of your life? Did you have a mission in your heart? Dream to make wonderful family, okay? Don't have to go too far. Dream to have a beautiful wife and beautiful kids, raising devout family. Dream to be great medical doctor. Dream to be great professor, like someone, any dream, folks. And we pursue for this dream. Usually you do okay until you reach final goal. You face the reality. Anything worthy to pursue in your life. there is price tag on it. The worthier, the more expensive. No sacrifice, no glory. People tended to say the same thing as Fox said. That's a typical way of losing your battle in this life. Now, it is not just the sour grape syndrome. Once you are gripped with fear, now the goal you have been trying to reach all your life is gone. There's no way to turn back. So what they say here, I call grasshopper syndrome. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendant of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We looked the same to them. So anything we do in this life, any worthy project, even in the company, you pursue business, or in the family, or pursuing study and anything. We have our own strengths and weakness. Okay? That's our internal strengths, internal weakness, internal factors. Then, external factors, we have opportunity and threat. People who fail, they would rather see opportunity as threat. Okay? Then what happened? Once you see that great opportunity, the goal as your threat, fear grips your heart. Then you feel like nothing. You forget every strength you had. You lose all the strengths. So what they say here, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Severe inferiority complex comes. These two syndromes are primary reasons why people perish, why people do not achieve what they've been pursuing. Anything you have in your heart, you must overcome these two syndromes first to reach that goal. How can you do that, folks? That's the primary purpose of today's message. How are you going to overcome these two syndromes? Well, let me tell you just a simple thing. We just change that the other way around. Once you are given the goal by God, anything worthy goal, anything worthy dream you have, no matter how difficult that looks, see that dream as opportunity. See the threat as opportunity, because the more threatening circumstance means is the more worthy goals you are pursuing. If the goal you are pursuing is easy to achieve, folks, students, I will be happy to get D and pass. That's not really worthy goal you are pursuing, folks. That's a way of losing. To get A, you have to study harder. Sometimes you can't have enough sleep. You can't play games. You can't watch the great basketball games, folks. There must be sacrifices. Remember, anything you set in your heart, any goal of your life, it doesn't have to be humongous, but any goal you have in your mind, even the exam you just had. See them as opportunity to achieve great things for the Lord. And when the circumstance sometimes overwhelms your heart, just shout to the Lord, "Lord, give me strength." That's the second part. Look at your strengths first. That's the only way you can overcome inferiority conflicts. See what Caleb says here. "Then the Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.'" Okay, this is Caleb's attitude. But that's not everything here. Let me see another verse. Okay, chapter 14, verse 6. "Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good.'" Exceedingly good. Do not speak like a fox, folks. Okay. That's totally lie. The land was flowing with the milk and honey. Exceedingly good. "If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us." The key here, the strength of Israelite is not in their size, okay? Not in their weapons. The strength of Israelite is the presence of the Lord among them, who took them through the Red Sea, who took them through the desert. That's their strength. People, once they look at themselves only, or they see only their weaknesses. So they see, even to our own eyes, we look like what? Grasshoppers. Grasshoppers you could catch and just kill it. Then you lose even before you begin your battle. But here, Caleb knew the strength of Israelite was in the presence of the Lord among them. When God is with us, who will fight against? That kind of a mentality he had. So instead of inferiority complex, he had confidence, folks, because of the Lord's presence. Then listen what he says. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land." Do not be afraid of the people of the land. This is key. Fear is really the devil's word. Faith comes with such a word of faith. "Because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. You know what happened to the Israelite? This Exodus first generation, they all perished in the wilderness. They had to wander for 40 years because they spied the land for 40 days. God let them suffer in the wilderness for the same number of years, 40 years. All perished. Were not able to reach to their goal. I do not think any of you want to perish in the wilderness.
not reaching to your goal. You know, what is a real tragedy to those people of Israelite? It's not the suffering in the wilderness for 40 years, but despair. No future for them. Hopeless situation. No matter how hard our life is, as long as we hold on to hope, that life isn't unbearable. But these people, think about it, 40 years wandering in the wilderness, no goal, life without goal, life without hope. I don't think any of you want to have a life like that, folks. Remember, to see threat as opportunity. When you want to challenge something, that goal must be challenging. Do not count your weaknesses. Rather, you count your own strengths and obey the voice of the Lord. Pursue your goal. See your strengths. When God is with you, you could do anything, folks. There's nothing impossible in the Lord. I hope every one of you will be able to overcome these two syndromes. Remember, sour grape syndrome and grasshopper syndrome. You have to know your weaknesses. Then also remember, instead of sour grape syndrome, we call it Bob syndrome. Somewhere, Caleb said, they are all our bread in Korean. They are all our bab. So I call it bab syndrome. And see your strengths in the Lord and achieve great things for the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you for giving us such a wonderful lesson. So the life of Israelite, we saw how they perished in the wilderness, Lord. We also know why they perished. Sour grape syndrome and grasshopper syndromes, these are not just to them, Lord. We know our weaknesses. Strengthen us with the faith so that we may overcome our syndromes, Lord. I pray all this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.